is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Those, he said, let it be done according to your faith. It wasn't that they had enough faith. It was they had enough faith to come to him. To say, I need you. Not him. I don't need to sit on the sidelines and go, I believe it. I'm going to get better. But I need you. So that is the faith that saves. That's the faith that you need.
In today's message, Pastor Troy addresses the dangerous doctrine that says that as long as you have enough faith, God will give you whatever you want. The follower who puts their faith in God's power to accomplish His will is the one who will see God move mountains in their life. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's message.
When death happens for a tree, it begins in the soil. It begins down here and begins to really kill and die and destroy the tree. It dies. So there actually can be a time where the tree is dead or dying, but you don't know it. In fact, that tree can still be producing some fruit for a time because life is still up here. The death hasn't reached yet. It hasn't dried up. And so it's called what we call residual fruit. Fruit that's still happening. That tree looks alive to me, but it's dead. Now, that can be happening in our own life. The soil, it's not good soil. We're not surrounding ourselves in an environment where there can be growth stimulated, faith, walking by faith that is being stimulated in our life. And yet, fruit's still coming forth. Still got some things happening. People still come to me. But what we don't realize is we are slowly, slowly dying. And the fruit will cease. We'll find ourselves having drifted to a place we wonder how we got there. It's not a place you want to be. And so, talked about the title of the study. It's No Fruit, No Faith. I know we could have said No Faith, No Fruit because without faith, there's no fruit. But the approach today is, if you're not seeing fruit in your life, maybe it's a sign that you're not walking by faith. There's no faith being lived out or expressed. Because when you walk by faith, fruit happens naturally. So look at the fruit. Is it coming forth or is it not? People can see. It's for others. So if you want to stand on your own ground saying, yeah, there's fruit, I did this, and you're coming up with your fruit, but everybody else would look at the tree and go, I don't see any fruit, then maybe you're deceiving yourself. It's time to start walking by faith and trusting in the Lord. Well, there's a lack of faith in Israel. In verse 20, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? You got to understand. Now, again, let's take the context. This would be the next day. All the other trees are still green. All the other trees are fine. They come up on this one. It's like, wow, you said it. And then, wow, it's the wow factor, right? That's what they're experiencing. Wow, it withered away. The wow factor. The disciples are demonstrating symptoms of Israel's condition. See, they're marveled at Jesus. They're experiencing the wow factor. But they don't fully believe in him yet. There is a difference in those who believe in him and expect that he can do great things. and those who are constantly wowed. Wow! The ones who are wowed, they're always in hindsight. Wow, God did something great. I want to do something now. Wow, God does great stuff. I want to do something. Then they burn out and nothing really happens. Whoa, God does such great things. And then they try to do something and there's no fruit. But those who have faith, they believe God can do stuff. And it's not that they're not wowed. They're still in awe. They're amazed at every time God does stuff. When you're walking by faith, you're amazed every time you get up in the morning. Man, God, you gave me this. You're crazy. You're crazy, God. You're awesome. But as far as always going, whoa, God can do stuff. God, whoa. You're not that way because you expect. You walk by faith. You know God does great things. But there was a lack of faith, that kind of faith, in Israel. George Mueller is a man who walked by great faith, man who saw great things. We have the book, if you are a reader, I think we still have copies of the book. He's a great inspirer of what it means to trust him by faith. This was a man who grew up, and he was a manipulator. He lied and cheated and did everything he could to get things worked out to his favor. And so as he grew in the Lord, he said, you know, I don't trust myself to not try to make things happen, so we're just going to trust the Lord. We're going to walk by faith and let him provide. I'm not going to start trying to manipulate and get things to happen. So he trusted God. He was all in, gave up everything. He wanted to do some ministry, some big ministry. But as it turned out, what he kept seeing was kids, orphans in the streets of London, England, that area in Bristol. And he would always see them around, and his heart started going out to them. And I want to do this big thing. I keep seeing these little kids. And so by faith, he started trusting the Lord. And he said, you know, let's just have the kids over. We'll have a breakfast for them. It was called the Breakfast Club. And they would have breakfast for them. They would feed them and minister in that way. Something very simple, but it was by faith. I believe this is what God wants us to do. Well, there came a time where the money ran out. They had nothing. They were scraping by for themselves, but they always had enough. But this day, they had nothing. They had the kids there, and they thought, well, we're going to have the Word of God, and we're going to trust God. And God showed up. God brought some bread by a woman who said, you know what? I was up last night, and it was a burden on my heart to bring you and the kids some bread. I hope you need it. I hope it's not too much. Not too much. Thank you. And he was able to praise the Lord. But he didn't go in there with the kids and go, wow, I cannot believe the Lord just provided us bread. Can you even believe that God would do that? No, he knew. He said, this is what God does. God is faithful. I believe his word. Another time, years later, full swing, he's all off into the orphanage now. I mean, he has started a huge orphanage. God's plan just slowly unfolded for his life. Didn't have to seek it, just had to walk daily by faith. And as he's got all these orphans, a similar situation arises, no food. But they got they got a business, they got employees to play, and they got all kind of stuff going on. And they're wondering, how are we going to do it? And just at the time, he says, you know, let's set our plates out. We're going to thank God for his provision. They began to pray and thank God. I don't know if it was during the prayer, a little bit after the prayer, he gets a knock. And a guy with a milk truck had broken down. Now, they didn't have refrigerated trucks back then, so the milk's going to spoil. They're going to have to get rid of it somehow. So he said, do you know, can anyone use this much milk? I got a truckload of milk. Yeah, we'll help you out and we'll take the milk. And so they provided milk. A bread man had come and was on their heart. And that day, they ate. They didn't miss. It wasn't the everlasting hope that we talk about sometimes with faith. Well, I hope he provides. Well, he didn't provide today. Well, I hope he provides. Well, let's just keep going. And he's going to provide. We believe by faith. And I'm not talking about that, where the dangling carrot we call faith is ever before us and we're always marching, never seeing. In George Mueller's life, he believed God. He was in God's will. No compromise. And he saw great things. And though he was always in awe, he was never moved by being wowed. wow, God does great things. Okay, let's do this. He walked by faith before he ever saw it. He trusted God. He believed God. There's a lack of faith in Israel. And for those who are following him, the disciples, there's a need for greater faith. And so Jesus says in verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, 'Be removed, be cast into the sea,' it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." So now what's Jesus saying? Because this sounds a lot like a formula. You remember math? In math, they got formulas. Plug in numbers, answer comes out, formula. Works every time. But is this a formula? I mean, it looks like one. And those who are hyper-faith teachers would like you to believe that this is one. But it's important for us to understand the context and the terms of what Jesus is actually saying here before we start to draw strange conclusions that are, one, inconsistent with the Bible as a whole. First, Jesus is not saying, if you want anything, whatever you want, just get another buddy with you, and that way there's two official, right? Anything you want, just speak it, claim it, believe it. It hinges on your belief. You don't believe it, it's not going to happen, but you believe it. You believe it, you got it. God has never operated that way. Never. Those, he said, let it be done according to your faith, it wasn't that they had enough faith. It was they had enough faith to come to him, to say, I need you. Not him. I don't need to sit on the sidelines and go, I believe it, I'm going to get better. But I need you. He said, that is the faith that saves. That's the faith that you need. Can you imagine the kind of faith that just says, claim it and you want it? Can you imagine giving your two-year-old or any two-year-old that kind of liberty, that license? You just claim it. You believe hard enough, son. You get it. No. You know that a two-year-old asks for things that would kill them, right? You would never give them that much liberty. You got to train them up. And our Father in heaven loves us too much to say, you just claim it. You just claim it. And say it in a country accent, too. No, it's like you got to have this drawl. Drawl it out of the Lord. Drawl it out of the Lord. God never operated that way. When Jesus is speaking of believing, he's speaking of believing in his power, his authority. There was a man where Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith even in all of Israel. Now, he's a model for us of what great faith is. What was that faith? What impressed Jesus so much about this man's faith? Well, it's in the guy's response. It was the Roman centurion who wanted his servant healed. And Jesus says, okay, I'll do it for you. I'll heal your son. Take me to your servant. Take me there. And the Roman centurion says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But you say the word. You say it. He says, I understand authority. I have authority. I say to a man, go, by the word of my mouth, he goes. When I speak, it gets done. I understand authority. And he says to Jesus, basically, you have that. I believe that about you. Just say it. That's faith. Jesus says, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Disciples, you get that? They didn't get it. Because very soon after that, the disciples are going to be in a boat. Jesus is sleeping. We're going to die, Lord. We're going to die. He said, where's your faith at? They didn't get it. Jesus speaks about, what's interesting is this idea of believing in him, is believing he has authority. If Jesus says, you're cursed, you shouldn't go, wow, you cursed it. It cursed. Look at what happened. You shouldn't do that. You should go, yeah, bad to be that tree. But they didn't have that kind of faith. They didn't realize or really put it together that he has that authority. And what's very interesting is the next day, next week, or actually in 2 weeks now, we're going to be talking about authority because Jesus talks about this. You got to believe. Understand I have this kind of authority. And the first question he's asked when he goes into town is, guess what? Who gave you this authority? So they're going to ask him. And we're going to talk about that next time. But he says, You would have faith, you could remove mountains, and things that you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. We're going to have to get through this quickly. Removing mountains. We need to understand what Jesus is saying with the ears that they heard it with. And let me open this up with this. Let's say I say we have a project we want to fulfill as a church, and we want to do it this next week. But I find out some things are happening and other priorities have come in, and I go, you know what? On that project we wanted to do, we're going to kick the can. We're going to kick the can a little bit and push it off into the future. You'd know what I meant, right? You know I'm not going to go out and kick a can, right? I think you know that, unless you're very literal. But you would understand what I'm saying. Well, when Jesus talks about removing mountains, he's not talking about, if you have enough faith, you can say, move mountain, move over there, as if God didn't place it properly. And we know better. What does he mean? Well, to the Jewish listening ear, he simply said this, and then I'll explain it. There'll be no problem too big for you. Now let me explain why, where I get that from. In Israel, they would constantly talk about those who would teach and teach well and teach wise wisdom. That person was a rooter-upper of mountains. That one of the big obstacles in life back then, when you travel by foot, were mountains. And so that guy removes mountains. Man, you go talk to him, no mountain high enough. That man removes mountains. So it was a common phrase. Now, where did they get that idea? Well, they got it from God. In Zechariah chapter 4, Zerubbabel sees a vision. And Zerubbabel's vision pictures the seven-branched candle that they had to pour oil in morning and evening to make sure the fire always was lit. They always lit it, kept the fire going, constant maintenance. But he sees his vision. He sees the seven-branch candle, but he sees like trees and oil constantly being poured in, just this constant source of oil. He's like, well, what does that mean? And it's because at the time, Zerubbabel was very limited, but was called upon to rebuild the temple. And this is what the Lord said. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl, the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, I will be the constant source keeping this thing moving. But listen to what he goes on to say. He says, so where are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace. Grace to it. So there was this idea, mountain in the way, mountain be gone. Because God can do that. And they understood exactly what Jesus was saying. So with faith, he's saying, there is no problem that you cannot handle. There is nothing you can't take care of. If you have problems today you can't resolve, you need to exercise faith and seek the Lord and then take the steps of faith necessary to resolve. But it doesn't look like that would do anything. Good. Then it requires faith. Trust the Lord. And then he says, if you ask in prayer believing, you'll receive. Again, we have to define believing. Believing in what? Believing it'll happen? Believe, I'm believing, and I'm believing. I'm going to believe. You ever tried that? And as a Christian, as a young Christian, I tried the whole believing exercise. All right, believing. Believe, I believe. Move, pencil. You know, you just try it on little different things. I even tried a mountain. I was like, okay, the mountain's biblical. Move, mountain, move. I thought I was moving, but it was the car. Moving. David found out there's no problem too big when your faith is in the Lord. He speaks of believing in the Lord, his plan, his will, his authority. If you're walking in his plan, his will, his authority, you're in his plan. walking according to faith, whatever God says, then guess what? You'll be in a place where your prayers line up and your prayers produce power. You're going to be in a place where your life is in the right place for producing fruit. Your heart is in the right place for great fruit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. One of the things that we should ask for and believe in, believe God for, is wisdom. We're told to ask for wisdom. In James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for you doubts is like a wave of the sea and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, if you pray, you need wisdom, and God does not give you revelation, then by faith you need to either, well, it's one of two things. One, he knows you're not going to listen anyway, and he's not going to waste the words, because I'm not going to do it. And so then you don't hear from him. But if you don't hear from him revelation and your heart is right, then guess what? You probably already have the wisdom. So now what you need to do is walk by faith according to what you know, according to the word of God. God is either saying, you're not going to do it, I'm not going to tell you, or you have it, or he will give you direction. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him, that's sin. Sometimes you already know what you need to do. You don't need revelation. The bottom line is, no fruit being produced is a sign that there's no faith being practiced. It will cause your lights to shine when you start to live for Christ. You will be different. It causes you to acknowledge his authority, to align with his will and his plan. And nothing will be impossible for you. There will be no problem you can't resolve if you walk by faith. So Israel did not have faith, and they'll experience the consequences of not believing in him. In 70 AD, the temple is destroyed, and as a nation, they cease to exist. Of course, we know now in 1948, they came back into the land, prophetic as well, but they were wiped out. And the gospel went to a people not of Israel. Went out to the Gentiles, and the church now in this age of grace shares the gospel. For Christians, we're told that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't please God by getting up and smiling at him. Don't you love me, Lord? I heard a teenager doing this. She was asking her mom for some $99 hair job. Mom, but I need this. They took a day off school just so this girl could... I said, no, I cannot turn into a pastor right now. Not my sheep. Stay out of it. So I'm sitting there listening, and this girl, obviously spoiled, is going in to get her hair done. Well, I want the 121, and then I need this. And the mom's like, well, then whatever. I don't know. This is expensive. And yeah, it is, Mom, so stop it. But she didn't. She kind of walks out. The mom walks out. And as she's walking out, the girl's going, but you love me, right? I love you. You love me. Like that makes it all okay. We do that with the Lord sometimes. I'm sinning. But you love me. You love me. I want you to do this. I'm going here, but you love me. We do that so often with the Lord. A little spoiled, aren't we? That's why there's no fruit. That's why there's no power in our lives. There's no faith. No fruit, no faith. But you walk by faith, you'll see fruit.
Building on the solid rock. Pastor Troy will pick up where he left off next time you join us for another study through the Gospel of Matthew here on Building on the Solid Rock. If you live in the San Antonio, Texas area, we want to invite you to join us for worship. The messages that you hear on Building on the Solid Rock are produced from worship services at Calvary Chapel, Solid Rock. Maybe the teaching you heard is exactly what you're looking for in a church. Then please join us. You can find our service times for Sunday morning worship and our midweek Bible study at our website. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. Again, for more information about our ministry, including service times and driving directions, log on to buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you will be able to listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety, as well as get to know us better. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for tuning in, and may God richly bless you.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come have